Hey, welcome back. My name is Dominic Gasem, and you're listening to PR Hangover.
All right. Welcome back to PR Hangover. I'm joined with two lovely guests, Allison Lanier, Director of Client Engagement at GMB. Allison uses her passion for people to create positive, effective, and rewarding client onboarding experiences for GMB's marketing services. Her ultimate focus is to help higher ed clients reach their enrollment goals. She also acts as the Vice Chair of Marketing for Higher Ed Web Association and sits on the School of Business Advisory Board for her alma mater, University of South Carolina, Aiken. And then I'm also joined with Hannah Pierre-Herendine, Marketing and Communications at GMB. As a content writer and storyteller, Hannah enjoys creating, engaging, educational, and authentic content about real-life difference makers in education. Hannah works with teams across the organization to provide comprehensive marketing and public relations services to elevate the work of our educational clients and the GMB brand. Well, thank you both for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, thanks, Dominic. And hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here. This is Allison.
Yeah, thank you for having us, Dominic. This is Hannah.
So I'm just going to start off with a quick little icebreaker so we can start with Allison. So you are the Director of Client Engagement at GMB. Do you want to kind of describe what that role entails and maybe a typical day of what your work day is at GMB?
Yeah, I always like to joke because I feel like engagement is a little bit of everything. And what the heck does that actually mean? So my main focus is to help identify our right fit clients in the upfront to better understand their projects, how that would align with our internal team and the work that we do. So I really support our clients in the upfront from that onboarding process if we're getting into actual work. But more than that, I'm really heavily involved in the marketing side of things to engage the community with our conferences, any kind of thought leadership that is happening in the market. And there is that fun wine and dine experience as well in the engagement component of my job. So, yeah.
I'll hand it off to Hannah as well. Do you want to kind of give a background of what a content marketing strategist is?
Yeah, so on GMB's marketing team, it's kind of like our internal marketing where we do a lot of the communications and content strategy and kind of creation for what does GMB want to say? What are the stories that we can tell about our clients? And also dip into public relations and really kind of getting us out in front of the media and in public spaces with our clients as well. So it's really a great combination of internal marketing and working with clients to get their stories told as well.
Obviously, you guys are across the country from each other, if that's correct. Yeah, we have Allison in South Carolina and then Hannah in Michigan.
Yep.
So obviously, in this era of remote work, where does your work typically overlap? Because you guys are...
So Allison and I have similar responsibilities, but our work personally does not overlap. But what's great is working in a remote environment, our clients get the best people for the job regardless of location and geography. So if the right person for their job happens to sit in a different office, that client can still use that resource and get the knowledge and the skills that they need where geography is not a hurdle. So that is a really great opportunity to use remote work for everyone's advantage. And we see that happening on a lot of projects that have some cross-disciplinary teams, and they're able to really collaborate like we are today.
Yeah, and I think if I think a little bit broader about this question as well, because I think this is something that's impacting students who are getting ready to go into the workforce today, just that juggle between in-person versus remote capabilities. And so to Hannah's point, I think being remote allows us to be able to reach more of our clients and actually work more broadly with our teams. And it's about more about how we can combine a strong team for that client experience versus just like, hey, who's regionally near you? And these are the people you have to work with. I also think in today's world, a lot of the work that I do in the upfront is very like client travel heavy. And so there's a lot of opportunities for us to travel across the country to actually be with our clients in person. And those are also moments that we get to be in person with our teams. And so that remote component feels less daunting because you have those opportunities to actually come together and still have that one-on-one contact with each other.
GMB does make a commitment once a year to gather everybody from across the company to come in. We have people as far as California and all the way to New Hampshire, so we're really coast to coast. We do make that investment in time and in people to come together once a year so that we can kind of form those relationships and do that planning and fun activity time together too.
And I think that's really beautiful about today's world is that you can really interact with anyone and you're not really limited to regional companies as well. So I just wanted to also ask my next question. So you get into your office, which may just be in your house, but what is like the first thing you typically do and like how does your workday typically look?
I can start. I don't feel like I have a typical day. So we have a hub very close to my physical location at home. So I actually have the preference that I love to be in office as much as possible, even if it's like one or two people that are going to be there. And so I would say my typical day, the first thing I'm doing when I'm walking in is I'm like throwing down my computer and then I like go put my backpack in a cubby. If we're gonna get real, real, that's all I do. If I am working from home, I'm trying to get myself set up depending on my day. I did get like a walking pad, which I'm real excited about. So I actually set that up so I can feel some sense of movement. Because I think you also have to be really mindful of like where you are, what are you doing, and how you get your own in energy.
Yeah, I'm fully remote, so I don't go into one of our hubs with any regularity at all. It's maybe two or three times a year. They're not super close to me, and that was my choice. I don't live near one of them, and it works great. What I do to start my morning is typically I have a set of websites that I check out for news. They're pretty education specific, or it can be just trends. You know, I might be reading some third-party education blogs or doing a quick search for our brands in my Google Alerts, just making sure that nothing is surprising me during the day, that I know what's coming up as far as like conversations that could be had or opportunities for us to kind of leverage communication or trends and kind of see where things will go during the day.
Yeah, and my other thing is I'm glued to my email in my role. I'm very client driven and client facing. And so once said laptop is set up, I will immediately go to my emails just to see one, is there any fires that I need to put out or work to schedule my day to ensure you know who I'm getting to at a certain point in time and what takes priority.
Sir. And just little highlights your company. Just what is something you're very passionate about that your company does?
Well, GMB is a team of teams culture. We do not operate with a hierarchy. There's no like vice president, manager, directors. Like there's not the typical structure you would be accustomed to. And it's really just a great culture for collaboration and working together. You're responsible to your team, not to your boss. So everybody is treated, you know, with equal respect and has equal decision-making opportunities, which is really unique. And I think that's something that a lot of our teammates are really passionate about.
Yeah, and kind of playing into that, we are employee owned. And so that I think kind of goes into that trust where we all trust each other to get our things done. And so it's really about that collaboration and just holding yourself accountable. And so I appreciate that we view the entire organization as people first. And the work is going to happen, and we're all committed to doing a great job because we all are part owners. And so that's kind of like a done deal, but just making sure that we are people first, especially in today's world where there's just so much hustle and bustle. I just really appreciate the fact that there is space if we have to handle an emergency or something comes up personally. You're not going to be ridiculed or criticized for handling that, as long as you're communicating with your team and just showing that level of responsibility.
And that's a
I
really
agree.
good way to run a company. I really respect that. Just what is the role of GMB and why go into higher education marketing and what kind of in specific does that mean?
My area of expertise is in higher ed marketing, but GMB as a whole, we actually look at the education space in a broader spectrum. And so we're looking at the K-12 space and the higher ed space. So I'll kind of speak to that higher ed and let Hannah kind of tackle in on the K-12 component of the work that we do. I think what brought me to the company and the work that we do is it wasn't necessarily the fact that it was higher ed or that it was based on education, but it was the fact that first it was purpose driven, right? And then I had some alignment to that higher education component of it because if you really think about it, your audience, all of us, we have all probably gone on to get our degrees. And so being able to better serve students who haven't even made that decision yet, and they actually don't know what pathway that they're wanting to go. I just look back at my own journey, and now I get to be a part of helping someone with that decision. So while our clients are going to be the schools, or I work with a lot of chief marketing officers, or directors of marketing, or VPs of enrollment. And so while those people are my clients, I'm actually looking past that to better serve the student and their families because this is the toughest decision of their life. And how can we as marketers help to make that easier? And we fully believe that, there is a right institution for a student. And so being able to pair the two, you just hear so many stories about students who maybe picked an institution and it was just they got lost in that sea. It was not for them. They felt like they were drowning. They felt like they didn't belong. And so, to be a part of that journey for them to help them find that institution that is best for them in the upfront is super rewarding and energizing.
Yeah, so GMB has actually been offering services for over 57 years, and Day One started as an architecture and engineering firm, offering some collaboration between those two types of roles within a building process, which was unique at the time. And since then, just grew to now we have over 200 employees, and it was a natural business fit for the company to go all in on education a few years ago. Most of our business was in K-12 spaces for school districts. And it just made sense to kind of become a real specialist in offering education services. And a lot of that is K-12 driven. Like Allison said, we also do higher ed. And when there's also community need for education spaces, that's something we are always happy to look at as well. And we are in Michigan and Indiana and other Midwest states. So wherever we can impact students, that's really where the passion for GMB comes into play.
And that's really cool. I actually saw on your website there's a lot of schools just in the GB area as well. So like Hudsonville, that's really close.
Yeah, and
Can't
we
blame
partnered
you.
with Perkins and Will on Grand Valley's 10-year master plan as well. So we do a lot of work in the area.
Yeah, that's really cool. So this next question is a little specific to Allison. So actually Allison had a podcast herself, Undeclared. I just wanted to ask podcaster to podcaster, how has this shaped your understanding of the market you're in?
Yeah, I think the podcast was huge. It was originally a form of a sales tool, to be quite transparent. And so it was a prospecting tool where typically people hate to be reached out to be like, "Hi, I want to learn about your services." And so the podcast was a really cool way because I could reach out to chief marketing officers, directors of marketing, VPs of enrollment that already work in higher ed institutions and say, "Hey, I actually really want to learn more about your knowledge and the things that you are tasked with on a daily basis. If you've recently undergone a brand redesign, I would love to just talk about that." And so the podcast became that space for us to connect and for me to dive deeper into the problems and issues that our clients are seeing, even if they weren't our client, right? But like what's happening in the industry and the market. And so I was able to gather a ton of information. My background was not in higher ed. And so coming into this space was very overwhelming. There was just so many nuances and so many things that I had to learn. And so utilizing that podcast almost became like a cheat sheet for me, to be honest, because I was able to ask like curiosity questions and make it feel like it was thought leadership. But I'm like, I just really need to know. And so the podcast really helped to guide that. And again, it was meant for thought leadership as well. So we did utilize it on our website and through our social media to be able to broadcast. But I feel like the information that I learned in those conversations and meeting everyone was honestly so valuable to where I am today, being in this industry for almost 6 years now.
And I totally agree. The podcast life teaches you a lot about this,
You don't have to know
especially
anything
since.
going into the episode. You just got to
Oh
ask the right
yeah,
questions.
exactly. Especially like coming into this position right off of sophomore year, I did not know anything. So junior year has been very productive for me to learn a lot about this stuff. I get to interview people like you, and I learn a lot. So I'm very grateful you teach me the ins and outs of Ad PR program. Just how do you typically use brand strategy, and what does marketing or public relations really look like for you at your company?
Yeah, I can speak into the brand component. And so the arm of the business that I oversee or work on or work with is really around the brand and enrollment strategies for our clients. And so for us, when we think through brand strategy of how we're helping our clients, and I think it also trickles down to how we think about our brand and how we market ourselves, it really is around establishing who the audience is that we're trying to reach. And then really going into that messaging strategy. So the messaging strategy is incredibly important because it helps us establish the institution's voice and tone and how you're going to speak to your audience. And we do all of that from the brand component before we get into that visual identity and like the fun creative. The biggest thing I always tell people, especially if anyone's listening and they're really into marketing, is stop thinking about marketing about your logo and your colors and your typography. That's all the visual component. But if you can actually get into the strategy and the thinking and the why behind it, that is honestly where the value is because then you can justify all of that work that you're doing. And sometimes we just overlook the why and go straight into the look and feel and it just sets you into like a really bad pathway. So yes, I think that was a long-winded answer to strategy and brand, but that's the biggest component is really the thinking, and really putting together almost like the plan to your brand. And then I think that falls really closely into the work that Hannah does on the PR side, because once that brand is established, then she's able to communicate in the client's voice and tone and help to bring that to life.
Yeah, it's certainly important that in our public relations that the client is the hero. They have a really important job. They are shaping the future, generation of students. They're educating people, and it's our opportunity to offer them resources to things that they might not normally have, like somebody in communications or marketing or public relations. And they're doing awesome things, and they might not know the best way or who to reach and who to tell it about and who to tell it to. And that's where we come in. We can talk about their programs that they're impacting students with. Maybe there's community opportunities to kind of showcase what they're doing with parents and bond voters and things like that. So it's a really fun time for me. I get to interview students or educators and really just tell their story. And it's really a really fun interaction, and I'm really inspired by a lot of the work that I see.
I also want to just pick on you a little bit because you are actually a GVSU alumni.
It's true.
So I just wanted to, yeah,
Laker for a lifetime.
welcome. Welcome. Yeah, Lakers for life. I just kind of wanted to ask, how has the GVSU Ad PR program prepared you for your role today?
Yeah, well, I was a member also of Advertising Club and PRSSA. So my advice to students is to connect with what you're passionate about. Grand Family has the resources for you. They create a lot of great networking opportunities. So I really appreciate when I went to Grand Valley that in my classes, we had real world clients come in and we were doing real world advertising and public relation work for companies out in Grand Rapids that I knew. Frederick Meyer Gardens came in, Grand Valley's master's program. I myself, as a professional, have now come in to Grand Valley's capstone classes and made connections that way. We've done job shadows, there was internships. So I just think the opportunity to connect students with professionals in, roles that they're interested in and giving space for that was really important. And I definitely took advantage of that. And I would encourage other students, to do the same, because then you can really rule out and find your passion of, things that you want to do. Best way to do it is to try it out.
So in your different roles, what are some challenges that you've had to like overcome as professionals, and how do you kind of adapt to those?
Some of the soft skills that you hear about, communication, interpersonal relationships, it's that healthy conflict. It's really navigating those waters of how can we blend personalities and different, work styles and things like that. How can you make those things work together? And it's really just knowing that you have a common goal. You want what's best for your clients or your company or your community, and working through things with a plan and knowing that you have the same outcome in mind can really help when you're encountering challenges on a personal level.
Yeah, I totally echo that. I had two thoughts that came into my mind. One was around personality. And I think a lot of times that there is this misperception that you have to be a certain version of yourself as you show up into the workplace. And there are components of that that is true, right? But you want to bring yourself to work, right? You don't necessarily want to create multiple personalities. That's a lot to keep up with. And I think I learned that really later in my career, is that I felt like I had to be this like super pointed professional version of myself, because my entire career is really built on business development and sales and being in front of the client, right? And so I felt like I had to create a version of myself that was a little inauthentic to who I was. And later in my career, I realized that actually relationships are 10 times better with my clients if I am just me. And yes, does that mean you have to hinder it? A couple of things, right? I might have some choice language that I don't bring to the workplace, unless it's in the right place. But just making sure that you know how to, I don't know, turn the volume up or down depending on where you are. So I guess my message is just be yourself and figure out the right version, volume, little volume knob that you have to turn up and down. And then the other thing that I always think through, and I think that was true in my professional career, is that I'm a business major, and so I think we are also taught that your success trajectory has to be this linear thing. And there's no more truth to that. I'm sure there's a meme out there that it's just the squiggle line for success. And y'all believe it. That is 100% true. The success metric is a squiggle line. There's going to be ups and downs and twists and turns. And you just have to be open to that.
Just continuing, how do you really, I guess this relates to this next question, kind of relates to what you were talking about. How do you position yourself and create real results for your clients?
Yeah, so I'm very outward facing and very in the weeds for the client. So I can kind of talk about it outwardly from that client perspective. But I know Hannah, you support GMB as a whole, and that is your client, right? And so thinking through how those different things can scale. The way that we position ourselves is as an agency or as a company is to be authentic to who we are. And I think that we are just real people. And so our clients typically like to work with us because we are relatable. We hear them. We understand their problems to the best of our ability. And we are just really willing to get things done. Even if like the times are tough, we're all willing to roll up our sleeves and get the work done. And that doesn't actually happen that much in with companies similar to ours. You know, people don't really take full responsibility to create that like really great relationship. And so I think that's one of the biggest components of our company and the people that we work with and how we do that for our clients is really like hearing them and putting a clear plan together where we're working very cohesively with them.
Yeah, Allison's absolutely right when she says, you know, as a marketer, for me, GMB is my client. It is my job to market the things that we are doing and the work that our clients are putting forward. And so I feel like a lot of what I do is working with our teams to make sure that the messages that we're sending out are aligned, you know, with our company strategy, with our audience focus. And it's just a lot of collaboration and being open and transparent with teams. And that's kind of how we, you know, all work towards that same goal. We all want to say great things and put our clients at the forefront. So we just do that as a whole.
Just what overall trends do you see occurring in your specific industry? Or if you want to look at it like another way, kind of what skills do you think are important to learn as a young professional?
I think industry for us, what I'm gonna, my mind goes towards education. That's where my mind is most days because of the work that GMB does. So a trend that we've been seeing in education is really focused on just overall safety and, you know, what that means for students K through higher ed. And it's more than just, you know, their physical safe space. It's also psychologically, you know, what are we doing for mental health and how can spaces that we design and engineer really address safety from all levels? So I think industry-wide, that's where my brain is taking me. You know, so skills that have to do with that are, like I said, those soft skills, like being mentally aware of what's going on around you and communicating and, you know, being open with the people that you work with. I feel like that's probably, you know, a really important skill that people need to learn. And college is a great place to do that. You have tons of opportunities to collaborate and try things out and see what fits.
Yeah, I'm going to take the same approach where it's like, hey, what are we seeing in the industry? And then some recommendations I have. I would say, again, focusing more on the higher ed industry as a whole, we are seeing trends where enrollment is declining. And some of those reasons are because, you know, in 2008, there was a major recession. And so families were not growing and we were not having babies and all of that stuff. And so now the trend is that there's less kids in high school, which means there's going to be less people going to college. And so what you'll hear that as is it's called the enrollment cliff, and that is coming in 2026. So we're 1 year apart. So you may feel universities and colleges are scrambling because everyone's going after the same pool of students. And so there's this huge uptick in marketing. So you're probably going to see that. You all might even be getting served more ads than you ever dreamt of, or getting exposed to more colleges that you had never even heard of because everyone's trying to go after that same audience. If I'm thinking through like trends that would be really helpful for students, if you're coming into the field of marketing, is 100%. I will echo what Hannah said about really getting comfortable working with various groups of people. I really worked very closely with people who are like-minded as me, being in that sales side of things. When I came into marketing, I was immediately exposed to not only people who did my job, but I worked with accounts people. I worked with creatives. I started to work with web developers. I started to work with PR experts. And we all have very different personalities and we have very different things that we focus on. But collectively, we all have a same goal. And so figuring out how you adapt to the varying personalities is really important. There is no more of a bigger difference than someone who is in sales and then someone who does develops websites. I'm just going to tell you that outright. Okay. And so that was probably just trying to figure out How do I communicate with this person? How do I get them to say two words? Like, we are trying to work on a project together. So I think that's big. And then another thing that we've actually talked through into my advisory board is how do we bring more instances for students to take like self tests and evaluations to really understand who you are, in that personality component of it, like DISC or Colby or the Enneagram. Because the quicker you can understand who you are, like just as yourself, is will also help you understand how you can show up for others. So I think that self-awareness is very important.
Just kind of moving on to the final question. So obviously you both know what it's like to be students, and question kind of is, what is one piece of advice you would give to a past version of yourself?
Yeah, I would. I was trying to listen to what was bubbling up for me, and I think the biggest thing that I could say is really follow what you're passionate about. So when I first started my journey as a student, I started as one undeclared, and then went to nursing because I was like, oh, people told me I have a great personality and I would be great in a nurse, great as a nurse. Well, then I started working in sales and I was like, actually, I feel like I can help people this way. And so then I pivoted, right? But I think the things that are coming up for you or the things that you are passionate about are there intentionally and with purpose. And so listen to that and follow whatever that is, even if it isn't, mainstream or it's not what your parents are telling you to do or whatever. Sorry, parents. But listen to the thing that is calling you and just do that thing because the last thing you want to do is get into a career where you're unhappy, or you have to pivot later in life. Like you can always pivot. That is also a thing. You can always pivot to your passions. But I just wish I had listened to myself sooner.
I think I would say to a younger version of myself is to not pay attention to what's supposedly going on around you. With social media, there's a lot of, I'm doing these great things, I'm super successful, and that's not maybe a reflection of somebody's real life. So, kind of losing that sense of comparison and competition, and I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm looking up to this person and they're doing that, so I should be doing that. I think that can really hinder people when it comes to, like what Allison was saying, discovering what you really want, what you really value in a workplace or relationships. And so I think just losing that comparison that we've kind of been brought up with, and just turning that off.
I just want to say great answers from both of you, and I would like to thank you for both joining me today. It's been absolutely lovely. I will be leaving your LinkedIn and any other important links in the description of this episode. And do you guys have any final comments?
I have not, I told Allison this my secret yesterday. I've not listened to podcasts in the past. So I did listen to some of these ones in preparation. So I appreciate you guys putting those out there and making them available for students as a resource. So thanks so much, Dominic. That was really fun to listen to and get to know everybody in PRSA better.
For the listeners, if you could hear a theme, I think our theme is to just like be you and do you. Like, and not trying to say that in a corny way, but like, just, there are places in the professional work environments that value that. And so, if that is important to you, then go in that direction.
As this episode comes to a close, I just want to remind you that all of the guest information is available in the bio, and thank you for choosing PR Hangover.